Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Continuing with the chapter on the prohibition of going to fortune tellers, astrologers, diviners, geomancers, and those who take omens by casting stones, casting barley, etc. As we explained before, that the knowledge of the unseen lies only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Surah Naml, Allah ta'ala mentions, قُلْ لَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ الْغَيْبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. That none in the heavens and the earth has knowledge of the unseen except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when a person is doing all these things, he's going to these fortune tellers, astrologers, diviners, etc. What he's doing is actually going to people to give him knowledge that is only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, to a certain extent, this is a type of shirk, that something that is unique to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're attributing it to someone else to give you knowledge of the unseen. So therefore, this is completely prohibited in our Shariat. عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من اقتبس علما من النجوم اقتبس شعبة من السحر زاد ما زاد رواه أبو داود بإسناد صحيح. حضرت عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله عنهما narrated رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, one who acquires knowledge of astrology acquires a branch of magic. The thought might come to the mind that, okay, we won't use it, we won't go to this story, but we'll learn the science. So at least we'll know the science. Yeah, this thought also is being cut off by this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma narrates, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, one who acquires knowledge of astrology actually acquires a branch of magic. As his knowledge of astrology increases, his knowledge of magic increases. So what is the link between magic and astrology? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is creating a comparison, or is likening it to astrology. Astrology is actually learning of things of the unseen, knowledge of the unseen and hidden powers, etc. This lies with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Magic also has a similar thing, unseen powers and knowledge of the unseen. So like how it is incorrect to learn magic, like that it's incorrect to learn astrology. Next hadith, and Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam radiyallahu anhu qal qultu ya Rasulullah inni hadithu ahdin bil jahiliyyah wa qad jaa Allah ta'ala bil Islam wa inna minna rijalan ya'tun al-kuhhan qala fala ta'tihim qultu wa minna rijalun yatatayyarun qala dhalika shay'un yajidunahu fi sudurihim fala yashudduhum qultu wa minna rijalun yakhuttun qala kana nabiyyun min al-anbiya'i yakhuttu فَمَنْ وَافَقَ خَطَّهُ فَذَاكَ رَوَهُ مُسْلِمٌ. Hazrat Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam radiallahu anhu narrated, I said, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I just recently left Jahiliyyat. In other words, just recently I accepted Islam. I left Jahiliyyat just recently and I've accepted Islam. But there are still some amongst us who go to fortune tellers. In other words, still some people from amongst us, my group, my clan, etc., that they go to fortune tellers. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said straight, do not go to them. So then he went on to say that, he says, there are some amongst us who take good and evil omens from the flight of birds. Yesterday we explained this, in the direction the birds fly. If it flies to the right, then there's a good omen. My work will get done. Things that I want to work out will work out for me. If it takes a flight to the left, the birds that take off, fly to the left, then they would believe that now this is a bad omen, it's a bad sign, my work won't get done, or I shouldn't be doing what I'm planning to go out to do, so I rather leave it. Now from the flight of the birds, they would take this. So this is what he's asking Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's some amongst us who take good and evil omens from the flight of birds. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that that is something which they experience in their hearts, so it should not prevent them from their objective. In other words, that's just a thought that's passing. It's a superstitious act. If they were supposed to do something, they must carry on doing, irrespective of what the flight of the birds were. That is something that is just passing through their hearts. So therefore, it should not stop them, prevent them from their objective. What Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was explaining here was, this is just a superstitious belief. If a superstitious belief just comes through the heart and mind, a person won't be taken to task. But if he plays out that superstitious act into actions, now a person will be taken to task. So in other words, if these thoughts just come in the mind when you see these birds, etc., then there's no harm. It was involuntary. A person didn't deliberately bring that thought to mind. So therefore, this shouldn't stop him from whatever objective he wanted to set out. So then he went on to say, he says, I said, there are those amongst us who practice geomancy. This we explained yesterday, the drawing of lines on the floor. They would draw lines and then they would wipe it out. And depending on how many lines remained after drawing and wiping it out, there was a certain way they would predict whether your work will get done, won't get done, whether you must continue with a certain objective that you got or leave out that objective. This was something that was a practice of Jahiliyat. So he's asking Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam about this. So he says, so Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then replied to him when he asked, he said, the one whose geomancy, in other words, this drawing of lines, confirms or conforms with the messenger, then it will be correct. First, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, one of the messengers used to practice geomancy. This was a karamat, it was a mu'ajiza actually. This was a mu'ajiza Allah Ta'ala had given to a Nabi. One specific Nabi was given this mu'ajiza that he knew the specific art of drawing lines and by that he could guide people. So Allah Ta'ala had given to him as a mu'ajiza. So this is what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, that one of the messengers used to practice this. So the one whose geomancy confirms or conforms with this messenger, then it will be correct. In other words, that was a mu'ajiza. So this is what we call ta'liq bil mahal. It's impossible. It was a divine miracle given to this specific Nabi, and that it was for that particular time. Now, if yours happened to conform to it, then yours will be correct. In other words, it's impossible for yours to conform, so therefore you shouldn't be doing it. This is just a way of expressing it. In other words, the one who conforms to it, then it will be correct. In other words, it was a miracle given to that Nabi. So don't do this. You won't be able to do it. So this, therefore, it is incorrect for you to be doing this. Now the question comes in, which Nabi was given this particular mu'ajiza where he could, via lines, could know or have the knowledge of guiding people? There are two names that come up. One is Hazrat Idris alayhi salam, and the other one that comes is Hazrat Danyal alayhi salam. So one of them Allah Ta'ala had blessed him with this knowledge. It was for that time, it was a miracle from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not for us to get involved in superstitious acts. Superstitious, you find even nowadays, people don't like the number 13. So sometimes you'll find the house number go 12A, 12B, and then we go to 14. So there's a lot of superstitious acts that takes place. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a beautiful way, was just cleaning our minds out from all these superstitious acts. Once you open the brain to superstition, there's no end to what superstition can lead a person to. This is the beauty of our Islam. The knowledge of the unseen is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything happens with the permission, with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, we don't attribute anything to any type of superstition. The last hadith, short hadith under this section to complete. An Abi Mas'ud al-Badari radiyallahu anhu anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam naha an thamani al-kalbi wa mahri al-baghiyyi وحلوان الكاهن متفق عليه. حضرت ابو مسعود البدري رضي الله عنه narrated, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited the income derived from the sale of dogs, the income from prostitution, and the earnings of a fortune teller. This is the last part that ties up with this chapter. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited the income derived from the sale of dogs. Here what is mentioned according, or what is explained according to our mazhab, the Hanifi mazhab, is that we're not allowed to keep dogs for as a pet. But if a dog is a hunting dog, for example, or is a shepherd dog for the animals, or the dog is there for security, then a person can buy this type of dogs and he can sell this type of dogs. There's no harm. Why? Because he's not as a pet. He's not keeping it as a pet and he's not selling pet dogs. This is for a specific purpose that is allowed. So if it's for a purpose that's allowed, then a person can sell it and he can keep the income. What is prohibited is when a person is selling pet dogs. Sometimes you sell small poodles and all that people sell. They keep in the houses as pets. Now to sell these type of dogs is not permissible at all. Where it's a specific trained hunting or guard dog, etc., then it's allowed to be sold. So there's just some explanation under the income derived from the sale of dogs. The income from prostitution, that is clear, completely haram for a person to be earning money like this. And the third is the earnings of a fortune teller. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of making amal. See how beautiful our deen is. It cleans our external. We make wuzu, we make ghusl, we go to the toilet, we clean our external side. Then our clothes are clean. That we have to read salah with park clothes. Then the masjid that we read salah in is clean. And then our minds also are cleaned out. Person doesn't have faults or filth in his mind. So everything about Islam is beauty and clean and cleanliness. So therefore, we should take advantage of this beautiful deen that we've got. At-tuhuru shatrul iman. There's just one explanation, that purity is half of iman. One is this external purity, one is the internal purity, and of course the purity and cleanliness of the heart. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamun ala al-mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.